Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Today, we're hearing from two of the stars of the recent As Buck Would Have It three-parter, Robbie Bruce and Shona Rodman.
Also known as the voices of Buck and Jules, and really all-around great people.
They've been on the show since they were kids themselves, and as we'll hear, a few things have changed since then.
So let's hear about life, Odyssey, adoption, and more from these two talented friends. Robbie and Shona, it's good to have you both back on the podcast.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, you know, in the past, we've discussed how you guys came to the show and your familiarity with it. But today, we're going to focus on, the latest developments of your characters. You know, so especially the Buck storyline with going from being fostered by Katrina and Eugene to the adoption into the Melsner family. I hope I didn't give anything away there. And so I want to find out from both of you, how much did the writers involve you in the process of crafting this story?
I think that's one of the best things about Adventures in Odyssey is the fact that the writers definitely involve us in a lot of the process of our characters to see if we think that our characters would necessarily go down a certain path or how we feel about that, if it, you know, goes completely against, you know, their whole character. But Robbie, I'm actually not sure about you. Did you know that this was going to happen far before the episode actually recorded and aired?
For the most part, no. And yes, it was hinted at, but I think like any good writers, you don't give away the full storyline like months before it actually happens. And so I knew that it was kind of an idea, and obviously based off context clues and all the episodes leading up to it, it felt like we were coming to that point, but there was no confirmation until we actually recorded the episodes itself. And yeah, I mean, they did ask us, you know, what we thought, like you said, like what we thought our characters' paths should be and stuff like that. And it's always really cool to have those conversations because you're not usually ever a part of that in other productions. And so it's really nice that they trust us enough to be able to have us give our opinion and, you know, see what comes of it.
For a long time, the fans have been wanting Buck to be adopted. We were hearing that from them, and it couldn't happen fast enough. So listen, guys, actors always seem to shape the characters they're playing, especially over time. What elements of Robbie and Shona have made it into Buck and Jules these past few years?
For me, as Jules, I think at first maybe Jules especially was very kind of outgoing in her own way and maybe a little more conniving. And I think through the years, she's kind of softened up a little bit and become a little more quirky as she becomes part of Odyssey and, you know, blends in with other people. And I definitely think she has a little bit of my sense of humor. Growing up with British parents, my sense of humor can be a little bit dry sometimes. And I think that's definitely been incorporated a little bit for me. Yeah, just a little bit more quirkiness, and maybe she's becoming a little bit more awkward. I am sometimes a little bit more on that side myself. And I've loved seeing her journey in that way. But what about you, Robbie?
I think for me, it's been quite a wild ride with Buck. Going from kind of like Jules, you know, this conniving, like trying to get his way out of trouble all the time type of kid, to being more content. And I feel like I very much feel the same way about my life. It's been kind of cool to see both his and my life kind of interact in that same way, you know, because growing up, you know, I felt very much fairly similar to how Buck was, not on the whole, you know, the Green Ring conspiracy stuff, but, you know, the kind of the outcast type of guy. And it's really nice to have the community of Odyssey come in and gather around him and become much more of a family. And I've had similar situations like that for myself, where I've had to create that community and had other people come in and be that community for me. And it's been really awesome. And I definitely feel a lot like that as well.
Yeah, I love that answer. So how did you react when you first read the script for As Buck Would Have It? Were there any like moments that stood out to you emotionally?
I felt like the only word I could muster up to bring my emotions for all of this into place is just finally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's just, we're finally here.
I think we all felt that.
It's just, we're finally here. We're finally getting to that moment where, you know, Eugene and Katrina make the big decision and Buck has to accept all of it, and not just has to, but like is choosing to accept all of it. And it's just being married together, and it's finally happening. Yeah.
I think it was great too, because Jules, I feel like, finally was stepping in and helping him as a friend. I thought that Buck had done so much for her throughout the time that they had been friends, and she hadn't exactly reciprocated that and done as much for him. And I was just really proud and happy that she was able to step in and be with him through thick and thin in that way, and just be supportive and even injure herself in the process. And that's what a true friend is. And so I was really excited that, you know, you saw that growth in Jules as well, of just wherever, whatever he needed to do, like, she was there. And I think there was some like apprehension at first, but she realized, you know, just how much of a good friend I think he's been to her, and that it works both ways. It goes both ways in a good friendship. And I loved that. I was really excited. Plus, to get injured, you know, it's great being injured as a voice actor, because you're not actually injured. You just get to pretend you are.
Well, a lot of fans were surprised to see that the cover art for album 72 showed Buck and Jules holding hands as they fled the gas station, which artist Gary Locke told me was his idea. So what's going on with these two?
Well, as we mentioned, I know Jules was injured, and I think he was definitely trying to help her along, because if you've ever had a sprained or broken ankle or anything of the sort, it can be very hard to walk. But I think that was the main part of it. But I know that for a lot of fans, that probably maybe gave them some information, or what they thought was inside information on what was going on there, which I think is really funny. And I've actually had a lot of people asking me about that within the past few weeks and everything with that album. I think that was the main reason, though. That's at least my take on it.
You know, I know the writers have some thoughts, but how would you like to see their relationship evolve in the years to come?
Well, I think for me, it would be really cool to see them grow in a more spiritual aspect of things before they go really anywhere else. I think that's kind of prevalent. I know Buck is very much around, especially with Eugene and Katrina, around that type of faith mentality. And it would be cool to see him just transition into just figuring himself out and what all of that means for him, and adding Jules into the conversation of all of that. It would be kind of cool to see what they both do together, and figuring out whether they are good community for each other, or maybe that won't happen. Who knows? But, you know, really anything could happen, but it would be really cool to see them both kind of go through that and grow in that way. 'Cause that can only, you know, mature them even more.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And, yeah, I think right now, either way, like Robbie was saying, I'm very much on the same page. But I think either way, it's really great to just lay that solid foundation of friendship and to be in all sorts of scenarios together, being through hard times, through good times, and just growing together as friends. I think that's always a great thing, you know, to get to know each other and to, you know each other's tics and likes and dislikes, and to really have a deep relationship either way. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Shona, you mentioned the fans have already reached out to you. So I've got to find out about, you know, what opinions do they have, and what ideas or suggestions did they give you for, you know, what should go forward in that relationship?
For Buckles, as they refer to you now online. I don't know if you've heard that.
Oh, yeah.
That is what they call
you.
Yes.
Honestly, first of all, I love that name. I honestly think it's really, really cute, and it suits their dynamic very well. At the time, I know that there's a lot of people in Jules's life, a lot of people coming in and out. And I think from what I've heard too, I know people really want clarity on Buckles and on where they're going. But it's normally the same questions, you know, if they should be in a relationship, maybe when they should be in a relationship. But there are those people as well that really like them as friends. And I love that as well, that, you know, they just think it's great to have that strong friendship. And I think it's a really, it's a good example. I know they're both very imperfect people, so maybe they're not the best example sometimes on how to be a friend. yeah, I think from what I've heard, they want to see more growth and, would like to see, something, you know, big happen in their lives to kind of swing them one way or the next. I know that was a big thing, you know, as well as, are they actually going to commit their lives to the Lord? Are they going to become Christians? Or are they going to kind of, you know, turn away for a little bit? And I think that, you know, whichever way it goes, we're building to that in a sense, for both of them, just to see how they react when, you know, maybe faced with an actual decision that they'll have to make in their lives. But yeah, I think we're building to something, absolutely. But we'll see how it turns out. But it's been wonderful. The fans are always great and are just so supportive, and it blows me away and really blesses me that they love Buckle so much.
Well, before we talk about the acting process, I want to pause for a second for our
TRQ,
or totally random question submitted by a fan. And this one comes from With Joy, who wants to know, are you a prankster? And if so, what's the best one you've ever pulled on somebody, or maybe had pulled on you?
And while you take a second to think about that, we should probably remind our listeners that in the club episode, Icky and Cat and Balti and Bones, Robbie played a character known for shenanigans and hijinks and, well, even sang a song about being the prankster gangster. So Shona was in that show too, Jess.
Yeah.
So guys, I think it's an appropriate question for you today. What do you think?
I think the most interesting one that has been pulled in, was by me and a couple friends. We were spending the night at a friend's house, and it was a fun night. We were playing video games and just talking, having fun. Well, you know, you should never be the first one to go to sleep in any, you know, sleepover, whatever you call it.
That's good advice. Yeah.
Well, one of my friends didn't, and we decided, and I don't condone this nowadays because it, now that I understand how much shaving cream costs, we put a whole bottle of shaving cream on his whole entire back, body, head to toe. It was a lot. He was completely white. It was pretty funny. So, but yes, that was the most interesting one that I've had.
For me, when I've ever tried or wanted to pull a prank, I tend to be very extreme. And so I'll either do something that's so small that no one will ever notice in a million years, or I do something that's really big and might make someone upset. I've actually never gone through with those because I usually try and run them past people before I play a prank on someone. And it's never anything like mean-hearted or anything like that. I'm not a very good prankster at all. I've never actually had a prank pulled on me in a sense, but I'm honestly grateful for that because I'm also kind of a very jumpy person, and the littlest thing can make me, like, you know, sit up in my seat and, you know, and kind of get startled. But yeah, Robbie, I don't know if we would have been friends if we were kids. That sounds pretty intense, you know, to do that.
Probably
to one of your
not.
Friends.
Very good. Well, let's get back to talking about the studio and the process of acting. You guys, obviously, you're young, but you've had some experience, so share it with us. How much do you prepare before coming into the studio? Do you read the script out loud? What type of different routines do you have?
Well, I think for me, it's interesting because when you get sent a script before you record, there's a very fine line between over-rehearsing and under-rehearsing, and I think that it's a lot of the times, especially as a young actor, it's kind of finding that balance because you want to read through, you want to be very familiar, you know, have an idea of what you're going to, you know, how you're going to deliver all your lines. But you also want to be flexible and able to take any direction that might be thrown at you. And so that was something I think I really struggled with when I was younger, was just, I would over rehearse. And so I'd have things so set in my brain that this is what I'm going to say, and this is how I'm going to say it, that it became very difficult to, you know, take direction in the studio. And that's actually something that it took me a while to understand. And that's a little bit better now, thank goodness. But what about you, Robbie?
Yeah, I grew up, being an actor and everything, and you're always trying to impress the director, impress the casting director, impress everyone around you. So you want to do everything perfect and make it flawless, you know. And the reality is that not a lot of people care about that. They want to see an authentic representation of whatever you're doing, and that's what they care about the most. And I think with Odyssey, I think some of my favorite moments are actually moments that I didn't even create. Like when I get fed a different way to read a line, it's really nice for me because then I think to myself, huh, I never thought to say it that way. I never really expected to go down that direction with this liner or something like that. And so preparing for, at least for Odyssey nowadays, it's become more of where I'll read the script, I'll take in what is being said, but I won't try to put too much of my own spin on it. I'll think, okay, I'll come in prepared with maybe a couple different ways to do things, but then always coming in even more open-minded than I used to be to be able to embrace the director and the writer and what they were envisioning for all of that.
I think one of the great things about Odyssey too is that it is such a family, and so you don't feel, at least for me, I know you don't have, I don't really feel like I have to, like Robbie was saying, you know, have it perfect, you know, when I go in, you know, to have an open mind. And there, I think there are definitely sometimes some scenes or some scripts where you want that direction, and it's kind of an exciting thing. It's not something I think of when I go in for Odyssey, like the day before, I'm not all nervous and my, you know, my stomach is in my throat and I, you know, I'm so nervous and concerned about what people think of me. Like I know that it's going to be okay and it's actually going to be really fun. And I can just kind of go in and, you know, because we have relationships with everyone there, you know, you're able to bring those to the table. And I think it's something that's always exciting when you get a script for Odyssey, is because you look at it and you read through it a couple times and yeah, it's always something to look forward to, because you know there's going to be nuances and things that are going to happen inside the studio that's going to make it the best it can be.
Hmm.
Well, a personal update, both of you are married in real life now.
Yeah, and we should note, not to each other.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So very true. How has going through the process of becoming engaged and married changed how you look at family? Has it changed anything about how you play your characters?
That is a loaded question. that is a big question. It's wonderful though. That's fantastic. I think it's interesting, you know, becoming in a relationship, dating or courting someone, and then, you know, becoming engaged and getting married. I think for me, looking at family, it's interesting because when you get married, your spouse is your family, you know, that is it. And, you have to live with a person that has grown up in a different house, that has different, you know, quirks and, you know, things that they do around the house that you might not do. And I think it's, you know, it definitely has its challenges and it's imperfect, but I think that that's wonderful about it, is because you learn to live with imperfections in yourself as well and realize things about yourself that you need to work on and go, hey, wait, I'm not perfect.
Robbie?
Putting God first within our relationship has been a huge, huge thing. And it's a struggle too, every single day, trying to figure out, you know, what is God doing for us in our everyday lives? And, you know, we made huge moves. We got married during the pandemic and living together and trying to figure out that dynamic of what family is now versus what it was living with our parents to now just going to the two of us. And then we added two dogs and a cat into all of that. And it's become beautiful chaos.
That's a great way to put it. It's beautiful chaos.
It's been really awesome.
Guys, looking back on As Buck Would Have It, and really the whole Buck adoption arc, what are your thoughts in terms of what you hope listeners will take away from these stories, especially young listeners?
I believe that I would hope that they would take away that there is hope no matter what, no matter what situation. It isn't going to be easy, but it will be rewarding, completely and fully rewarding at the end of it all. And I feel like that's where we're getting at with all of this, is that grand reward that he's worked so hard for and that the Meltzners have worked so hard for to try to figure out how to be parents, you know, and we're finally at that moment where that hope is finally coming to fruition that we've had for so many years.
I love what you said about it being rewarding. It's not going to be easy, but it will be rewarding. And I think that's just such a great takeaway in life in general. You know, sometimes the hardest moments are definitely the ones that are going to pay off the most and that you'll look back on someday, hopefully with fond memories, because it turned you into the person that you are in the present. And I hope that people take away to just be there for each other and be willing to lend a helping hand, you know, not just when you want to, but maybe when it's hard for you and it's not convenient and it's not the best time for you, but to be there for someone else. You know, that is, you know, the core of friendship and the core of being, I think, Christ-like as well, is just, you know, being ready to help whenever you can. And yeah, you were loved whether you know it or not. There are people that love you, and there's a God that loves you, and you're not alone. You are not alone at all.
And we can always look forward to what it's like being adopted into God's family. I mean, that's something that as members of the church, we do. We have that bigger family than we ever dreamed of. And I hope that young people realize that as they may feel a little bit insecure, depending on their situation at home, that they know that the Lord is there for them and the body of Christ is there for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, Shoni, you ended talking about love and how, yeah, there are the people out who love us, and we love you guys. We love that you're part of Odyssey and really love this conversation. So thank you both, Robbie and Shona, for joining us on the podcast, and can't wait to see what happens with your characters and have you guys back on here sometime.
Yeah, it's great to have both of you on at the same time.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
I agree. Looking forward to it.
You can hear Robbie and Shona on As Buck Would Have It, in Album 72, The Long Road Home. It's available on CD, download, and in the club.
If you've got any questions about that story, or the others on that album, or really anything in Odyssey, our toll-free comment line is open.
That's 1-855-784-WIT. Always make sure you have your parents' permission before you call.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family.
Our website is adventuresinodyssey.com. You can join the club at aioclub.org, or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.